rustling of the twisty packet. In the dawn of the night, it's Ballybullock Hour 65! Not sure why I did that voice.
I liked it. I think you should do that every time, Kieran.
Okay.
Every time. Just exactly like that.
Just to give it a spooky vibe.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Could we do a Halloween episode?
I mean, not right now.
No. Obviously.
But maybe later.
Yeah. If we stayed up real late, we could record like the Halloween episode now.
Maybe.
And then it'd be midnight as well when we record.
The midnight hour. Maybe.
I like that.
All right.
We need a spooky podcast.
We've certainly got enough booze to stay up until midnight.
I mean, Jesus Christ, do we what?
We do, yeah. Yeah.
Responsible men going to work on a Monday.
Not me.
Nope. When I was thinking about this podcast, I realized that it's been a wee while since we were the full complement. The full...
Oh, I mean, the full complement as in all four of us.
That's been a long time, right?
If even ever.
So I thought, it's very difficult to get hold of the big man.
We are, of course, talking about the big dog, Nick Barry.
Yeah. I think our listeners...
They know who we're talking
about.
I think they know who we're talking about.
So I thought we could call him in. We'll just phone him in.
We're just going to phone Big Dog in.
Big Dog in.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. He could be putting out a literal fire.
The man with two children and a dog. We're calling him at 7:30 p.m. on a Sunday.
Well, the kids are probably in bed by now.
Oh, are they? When do kids go to bed? I mean, you probably know.
7:30, 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
He is nothing.
Hello.
Big Dog.
Hello. How's it going?
We're just recording Barry Bullock Hour 65. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and I'm glad to hear that you guys are podcasting away after everyone has sort of been in various different parts of the globe and everything. And I trust a lot of the podcast has been about Cal regaling on all his traveling stories and journeys and everything.
I mean, there's been a bit of that.
Had a little bit of that.
That hasn't been super heavy on the travelogues.
He's waiting for me to leave before he tells us what he really thought on the trip to America.
We may be hearing some more thoughts of America.
There are a couple of, as I like to call them, interns running amok in the house here at the moment. Likely to be interrupted at any moment.
That's quite all right. Would you describe for us the setting down there in Mornington?
Yeah, you're part of the globe.
Think of the end of Twister. When everything's just destroyed and smashed to bits. That's pretty much our household.
What character are you playing?
I'm like the cow that's getting spun around in the middle of a tornado. I just got nowhere to go but just poo. I don't really know what else to do.
So Baz, would you say that when I become a father, my line is pretty much
as you get as you get swept away with all.
We question the logic of calling you at this specific hour. Callum, the prospective father, said, "Oh no, the kids will surely be in bed by now." And I went, "No, I don't think so."
No, what we've got at the moment is two kids naked up and down the hallway.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is kind of the pre-bed routine.
How many laps do they usually do, Baz? Is there a set number or?
It's usually either till one of them stacks it with a significant injury and they can't go, or the big dog really just crack it because it's getting too late, and then just I don't know, just pretty much has to lock them in their rooms. There's not very much else you can do.
So most parents' tactics are you let your kids run around until they exhaust themselves. You let your kids run around until they injure themselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is perfect,
Baz.
They
injure themselves before they exhaust themselves, I think.
I was going to ask you, I thought we could have as a new segment on the podcast, because I'm about to be a father. And I know how much Kieran likes new segments on the podcast.
Nothing I love more than a new segment that may never come back.
I like to try and have at least one new segment that never comes back. Every podcast. One thing I thought we could have.
You've got Eric there too, right?
Yeah, we've got Eric there too.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
It's Mr. Cox. Hello, Mr. Cox now.
Good to hear you in the background. So it's good to hear you all there too.
Man.
He's a married man now, Baz.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank you.
we love seeing all those photos coming through from your trip in Japan. And so, you know, it sounds like every...
No. So that lasted... No, the call is still going.
Still going.
We just... Oh, it's gone.
Baz lasted 3 minutes and 40 seconds before we lost him.
Some naked child has smashed the phone out of his hand.
It's like a horror movie. He's walking down around his house on the phone. He just looks up and a naked child just like swoops in and destroys him. It's like, oh, God. Okay, we may tune back in with the big dog later.
We'll try and call him back in a little bit.
Yeah, he might call us back, but at this point, we really just don't know.
Something, or we hope and pray that Baz is okay.
We hope that everyone is okay, because the amount of quote-unquote injuries happening in that house doesn't sound healthy. It doesn't sound like a healthy amount of injuries.
Yeah. Ideally, you'd want to have zero. Yeah,
target zero.
Target zero. Not what the TAC had in mind, but I'm sure they go along with it.
0 days since an incident resulting in injury. Oh, hey, he's calling us back.
Can you answer that, KB? Let's press the green button.
Big dog.
Yes, I'm back. I'm not sure what happened there.
We were speculating.
Yes. We assumed that your house was being sort of... whipped up by a tornado of children.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I will warn you as well, gents, I neglected to check my battery. I've got 20% on the battery, so we could well have a termination of the phone call because of that as well. So,
that's okay, mate. That's okay.
An abrupt exit certainly feels in keeping with the general vibe.
Yes, indeed. So what's going on anyway, lads?
I just went back from North America. Jess is heavily pregnant, about to give up presidency to the Bowls Club. Eric?
To Eric?
Not to Eric.
No. Oh, right.
I mean, Eric may yet put his hand up. I don't think he's going to.
Non-natural born Aussie, I'm not allowed, I don't think by law, to be president of a Bowls Club. Yeah.
I apologize, Eric, for putting you... in that spot, if that was not what the objection was.
Yeah, it's a real sore spot for me. No.
He's busy now. He's got obligations. We've realized that he, out of three of us here, Eric's the elder statesman now as the married man.
Yeah, I guess.
He's the big dog amongst us at this current
time. Well, it's controversial. From what I understand, Cal, you know, you've got a kid on the way.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, you are effectively... hitched in all but paper, you know.
Baz, would you say, so, like, you're both married and you have children, who's gonna have premature out of me and Eric once I have a child? Is it gonna be like, who's gonna be the most sort of the wise sage, which makes more of an impact?
Look, I I'll think it's tight.
See, I don't
I,
know
I really can't like I really can't split the two. I think the two. I think when you combine I think when we combine your creativity, Cal, with Eric's steadfast, measured, logical approach, I think that makes, and when you can put those two elements together, I think it's the perfect combination. I can't split the two.
I don't think that, just based on that description, I don't think that Nick's listened to episode 64 of the podcast.
No,
just
probably
using,
not.
Just using those words to describe myself and Eric.
I may have put my foot in it there, but
No, that's a bit of an in-joke for the three of us. And you, once you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, which hasn't come out.
Which hasn't come out yet now while we're recording it. Last
hour. You'll get an itchy bottom. Put your pants back on. Just,
now that's sage advice.
So
these kids have an aversion to wearing pants.
Baz, I was hoping that as a father to be, you could offer me some advice on each. Have some dad advice.
Dad advice?
Yeah.
Just go with it. I mean, there's really nothing you can do. Like, you really have to. There's really nothing you can do.
Excellent.
All right, we've got injuries now. We're actually in injury time. Okay, yeah, no, I'm going to have to go, lads. Well, my only advice would be this. What doesn't seem like it's going to permanently injure them, it's probably okay. But there's no way of knowing until an injury happens. It's really the only thing, you know. And also alcohol helps.
So for the kids or
not for the kids. I don't condone giving alcohol to the kids, but
that
but,
is very important to clarify.
We are
recording live.
Oh yeah, and set up a trust fund to pay for all the fruit too, Cal, that they'll eat. Seriously, you need, seriously. You're going through like a dozen pieces of fruit a day.
What?
So if you've got like a
that's a lot of fruit.
Yeah, if you've got
Eric should take a sort of leaf from your book. He's going to the toilet every 5 minutes. Baz, last thing from you, but then we'll let you shuffle off into the distance. We heard that you might have a bit of news to share with us.
Yes. No, the tornado continues to manifest itself. We've got a third one on the way.
What? Big talk. Yep. What?
Yes.
What is going on?
That's
down
amazing,
there?
Baz. Congratulations.
Have you heard this, Kieran? So I don't listen to the podcast recently, and you obviously haven't been checking the Barry Bullock out.
Yeah, he hasn't been checking the chat. He didn't know. I've got about 20 group chats this weekend that have just been popping off. I haven't been reading a single thing.
Jesus. Well, anyway, yes, no, we are having number three, which is perfectly timed to come into Christmas and New Year's.
Nice.
The most inconvenient time in the history of the 52 weeks of the calendar that we go on. So is it the Roman calendar that we go off? I don't know.
Georgian or Julian?
Julian.
And against all logical explanation, it's another boy. So
it's another boy. The boy tornado continues.
Yeah.
Why would you do it to yourself?
So commiserations to my lovely wife, Sarah, who has to put up with three. Plus me, so that's four unruly boys.
You got a dog.
Oh, yeah, and we've got, the dog, Rosie, is the only girl in the house at the moment. But,
And Sarah.
Well, yes, apart from Sarah, of course. Look, congratulations, Eric.
Congratulations to you, Baz.
Thank you. Yep. Congratulations.
We'll have to come down and do a celebratory podcast with you sometime soon.
I'll have to get into the city and come and see you guys and... No, we'll definitely have to catch up, boys. I hope you had some good brews tonight as well.
Yeah, we got some good brews on the way.
And Cal, how long until Jess, for lack of a better term, popping? What's the due date?
The 10th of August. So
you're a bit close.
Yeah, we were in the car today. Baz, we did a tour of Melbourne and we bought a car seat.
Wow.
We bought a pram.
Yep.
We bought a deep freezer. For all of the food that we apparently need to cook. Fruit.
Yeah.
All the fruit, yeah.
Yep.
And we bought a plant stand so that we can move all the plants so that the deep freezer can go on the balcony.
Wow.
Because there's no space in the apartment for a deep freezer.
Of all the things you've been talking about there, I didn't hear a cot. Have you got a cot or a bassinet?
We've already got a bassinet. Yeah, I bought one of those off the wonders of Facebook Marketplace. And I also bought a change table as well. We've been gifted a whole heap of nappies and outfits.
I recommend as well that the bassinet that you bought, that it is like adult size, because I guarantee you that it won't be that staying in the bed. It'll be the baby that gets
moved in there. Just,
that
you
have to try and sleep. So, and that'll happen quicker than you might think.
We're thinking about...
I'm going to have to go, gents. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
You've got injured children to attend to, presumably.
Yes, I've got... Yeah, no, the injured dog is... I've got... Rosie sniffing around as well. Hey! Sorry. I'm going to have to go, lads.
Good on you, Baz. All right. Have fun, big dog.
Love you, mate. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Boy. Never fails to entertain.
That was excellent. That was everything I could
Conversations with the big dog and Islington shack of chaos.
I mean, when I proposed calling Big Dog before we started this episode, I dreamed that he'd been like, I've got naked children running up and down the corridor. And he did not fail to deliver. That's what he bought to us. Well done, Baz.
Yeah.
You're a prince.
So, expectant father.
Yeah.
What are we looking at? 5 weeks, roughly?
5 weeks. 5 weeks.
Five weeks today. I came up with this concept the other day. You might have already been... I mean, you could argue you've already been doing it.
Right.
Because you've been on an overseas trip.
I don't know what you're talking about, so I probably couldn't.
I'm gonna invent something that might already have been invented.
People do that all the time.
People do that all the time. But I thought, like, have you got a little baby bucket list? Have you got a list of stuff that you like to do as a unfettered, unattached man? Well, I mean, you're attached, but, you know, have you got a list of stuff that you're like, I probably need to sneak this in before the baby comes?
Yes.
Because once the baby comes, I will not have a minute to myself for at least the first year.
If you are listening to this, Jess, I do not consider myself to be an unattached man. Just to clarify.
I sort of, that's not quite what I meant, but, like, you know, you are free in your life at this point to sort of go where and when you please to a moderate extent. And when you have that baby, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, look, I've got a few things. I've got a few things.
I feel like doing a podcast.
Doing a podcast on a Sunday night, casually, with no planning.
Drinking some beers.
Drinking a considerable number of beers.
We should get some more beers.
We should get some more beers.
But I'll we'll take it back to that.
I do have some ideas. So last night, actually, I lived out one of my dreams before baby comes along. And we watched, I don't know if you've, have you seen the Hobbit films, Eric?
I think so, yeah.
Have you seen the Hobbit films?
Man, I can't say for
Kieran,
certain.
Have you seen the Hobbit?
I have not.
Okay. So Peter Jackson made, you know, one of the greatest fantasy films. I don't know quite how to finish that sentence, but
series,
trilogies. Yeah, he made a series of arguably the best fantasy films of all time. They were beautiful. Everybody loves them. Just about fantastic. And then I think got a little bit carried away with the money and the studios and everything. And after turning, I think roughly 500,000 words of book into,
it's not a big book,
14 hours of film. No. I mean, this is Lord of the Rings.
Flipping
500,000. I think he then turned The Hobbit, which is 140 pages.
Very small. Yeah.
Very small book. Beautifully spare book, I think.
Yeah.
There's not too much extraneous to that book. It's just a lovely little romp. He then turned that into three movies.
Too many movies.
And I was disappointed because that was my favorite book when I was little. I loved that book. I think I've probably read that book about 16 or 17 times. And it didn't break my heart, but I was a little bit disappointed when they turned it into three just kind of fatty movies. There was way too much.
Didn't they fill it with, like, appendices from Lord of the Rings?
And they didn't need to do that. I love all the other stuff. But I think it's a bit disrespectful to the original story, which is a beautiful story in and of itself. Mm. It didn't need all the rest of that stuff. They could have quite easily made a Forgotten Tales or whatever and just let The Hobbit be its
own. It did seem like a blatant money grab to be like, well, the three Lord of the Rings books, we made a movie for each of the trilogy. But this slim, sexy Hobbit volume, we're also going to make that into three movies.
Yeah,
we're going to do that.
So a lot of people were enraged about this. Not really a new idea. And someone on the internet cut the film down into 1 4-hour and
that makes sense
20-minute model movie. And then a series of other people have also done that. They've got different edits and they've cut different things. And it's quite complicated because you've got to cut to the music is the most difficult bit of it.
Yes, that would be difficult.
Very tricky. Last night with Tom and Jill, my friends, we watched the Maple Films cut of The Hobbit. And I've never watched a fan edit of something before.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It was exactly the essence of the beautiful book, The Hobbit, which is a lovely book, which is quite different to Lord of the Rings. And it didn't have the same, I guess, sort of heaviness.
Bloatedness.
Yeah, it was delightful. I really loved it. And so that's something that I've already done so I could highly recommend.
Sure.
The Maple Films edit of the Hobbit, which you can watch for free on the internet if you like.
Nothing like pirated goods on the internet.
Technically, it's not pirated.
I think it is.
No, because they're not making... like there's a loophole because they have cut enough out of it. They've kind of created a new piece of art, and they can't get sued unless they aren't breaking the law unless they make money out of it. They've checked all this because, you know, I guess they have to be pretty careful.
Sure.
Like that.
I would argue, even if it's not legally piracy, it is sort of piracy, but I'm absolutely fine with it.
But it's also better. Like,
I would like to see someone, and maybe they've already done this, I'd have to look it up on the internet, but I'd like to see someone recut the latest just horrific Twin Peaks series into a movie.
Okay.
Because there was 18 hours of bullshit. There's got to be 90 minutes of good stuff in there. I'm convinced there is, because it's just too long.
So Jess actually proposed that she wanted to do a few things. So she's sort of proposed a similar
idea. She's got a baby bucket list.
Yeah, she's sort of proposed a bit of a baby bucket list. She wants to go to the Preston Market.
Yep.
She wants to go to the night market at Queen Victoria.
Oh, yep. That's a good option. I wouldn't mind doing that.
She wants to go to the falafel place that I go on about in Coburg, Half Moon Falafel.
You do go on about stuff.
We did.
It's I like the way she phrased that.
Yeah.
I want to go to that falafel place you always go on about, and you're like, true. Oh, I know the one. And then you would have explained why it's a really good falafel.
I would have done that. It's exactly what would have happened. We've already done that one. She loved it. She understood why I go on about it.
She understands why you go on about it. Yeah.
The good pizza place you go on about, but I haven't been to.
I love this list.
So I didn't know which one she was referring to.
How many times are we going to hear the phrase "you go on about" in this list? Is it most of them, or what are we looking at here?
No, that's it. There's only two. Sadly,
do you do the bulk of the talking in this relationship?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so. I think I talk a lot about specific topics.
You get excited about things. You do when you get excited about things. I feel like you do talk about them.
Yeah, that's fair. Have I gone on about to either of you fellas Topolino's pizza?
Is that in St Kilda?
It's St Kilda. Yeah.
I don't think you've gone on about it to me, but people have gone on about it to
me. It's the first time hearing
it. I think I've been once, or I've been past it, and then someone, I think Craig Patterson, someone that you don't know, went on about that. But I don't think we ever went.
The Craggly Boo. I thought it could have either been that or 400 Grady, because I have sort of told her about both of those places before.
Yeah.
400 Grady, obviously a fair Melbourne institution.
Pretty much, yeah.
She also wants to go to Mork Chocolate.
Okay.
Which I haven't actually been to, so that would be new for both of us.
Where's that? Because I feel like I've seen that on my travels recently.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never been there.
Oh, okay.
So that would be new for both of us.
Sounds like she doesn't go on about it enough.
No, she doesn't go on about it enough. She wanted to go to Smith and Deli, and we did that today.
Yep.
The new Smith and Deli, which is so good. Could not recommend that place highly enough. It is actually...
Sandwiches?
The sandwiches. Oh my God. So I had a vegan Reuben today, and it was exquisite. Like, really good. The vegan Parmesan, the vegan chicken Parma, the Parmageddon was... That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Mm.
The vegan Reuben was amazing. Mm. It was a flavor explosion. Yeah.
Is that something you're going to go on about in the future?
Yeah. Might be something I go on about in the future. And we have to go to Lune Croissants.
Lune Croissanterie.
Croissanterie.
I think that's where Chez Eric works.
Boulangerie. yeah.
Okay, that's the list. I'm impressed that you do actually have a baby bucket list.
Yeah, but I don't have... Oh, we're also going to go to a game at Cardinia Park.
Ooh. Oh, Cats game. I did think going to the football would be on your list.
Yeah.
And kicking the football.
Because the baby won't be able to do that for a while. It does kick a lot, but I don't think it's going to be kicking football.
I think it depends on the size of the football. You get a small football.
Tiny football.
I think like you can hold it, you just hold it there. And I think you can...
Eventually.
You can definitely, you know, get two drumsticks, paint them white, put them on little holes, and just put the kid in front of it, put the ball on the ground. I reckon you can train him... I mean, that's your job, isn't it, really? Not that I've ever done it, but your job is to train the kid to, like, do shit.
I think so.
Yeah. This is going to be baby Gronk, too.
Speaking of, what do you think about this?
Okay, so Callum is showing us...
A marketplace post.
What is it? A child's fleecy onesie. Geelong fleecy onesie.
What do you think?
Cute.
Worth it? Adorable?
I think so.
What's the price on that?
$21.
I'd argue I'm down to 20 flat.
The only
21.
My only issue with this,
darling, you can get. I'm selling it for $20. Oh, darling, come on, you're selling yourself short. I reckon we can get at least 21. All right. Don't go on about it.
My favorite bit about this is pick up from Geelong or Seaford.
Oh, sorry, Geelong or Seaford. Yeah. Those are not close.
But wait for it.
Okay.
But pick up from Preston, Geelong or Seaford.
What?
My favourite bit about this, though, here we go. A beautiful outfit, unwanted gift, as we are not Geelong supporters.
How good is that? That's like Auntie Anne, who's sitting next to Half Cat at all the games. She's like, Auntie Anne, we're fucking Bomber supporters. Why do you keep giving us all this Cat stuff?
Because the Bombers haven't won a final in 12 years.
Isn't that?
It's longer than that, I think. Yeah, it's probably longer than that. It's like that? 20 years or something. Yeah.
They're talking about such a potent store chory. For sale, baby Geelong onesie. Oh. Never worn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Saddest story ever told.
The saddest story ever told, yeah.
Which could just be like, you know, they're ugly shoes. Or
uncomfortable.
We don't want our kids going for Geelong.
I also enjoy how many photos there are of this. There's a lot. They've put a lot of photos on this.
They really want to get rid of it because they go for the Essendon Bombers and they think their time is now.
I don't know that
they're wrong, but that's fine.
No, it's definitely not now.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Geelong's time now either, but I think I'd say we're still closer than Essendon.
Yeah, I dropped $10 on them recently to make the 8 because I thought it was just absurd that they wouldn't make the 8.
How much were they paying?
It's like $1.50, but you know, I figure like they've got a run of like North, Essendon.
Yeah,
they got winnable games coming.
Yeah,
that draw, it's interesting.
A lot of games at GMHBA as well.
That's it. I think they're going to come home with a wet sale. Bit of footy chat.
So things on the bucket list. I mean, have you got some suggestions? I would welcome some suggestions. I would love some things that you think would be a good idea, and I'll do them.
I think Jess has nailed it. To be fair, I think you go to your favorite places, your favorite bars, your favorite restaurants, your favorite cafes.
Yep. While they're still uncomplicated.
Yeah, yeah. Here's one for you.
Mm.
And I don't want to tempt any fate here.
Okay.
So I just want to say that this is a pure hypothetical.
Okay.
That I read on the internet, and I thought it is actually a genuinely interesting question.
I'm so intrigued.
The tone may come down very briefly, but let's try and keep it light.
I like it.
So the scenario that I saw on the internet was, it's so grim already. You get diagnosed with a terminal illness.
Oh right, okay. And you've got get really dark.
Yeah, and you've got no. But that's what I mean. We're gonna keep the energy up. We're gonna keep the energy up.
Yeah.
It's you get diagnosed with a terminal illness, but you've got 1 year to live. Mm. Like they know pretty accurately. They can sort of go right. This is how much time you've got.
Mm.
So you've got a year. What do you do with that year? Like, what do you actually do with it? Like, what are you doing? Like, 1 year condensed bucket list stuff. Where are you going? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, Super Bowl, back on. We're going. Yeah,
Super Bowl, you know what I mean? Beyond.
You're liquefying assets and you're going to the Super Bowl. That's what I'm doing.
Sorry, Jess. I know you've got a baby, but I'm going to the Super Bowl with Kieran.
You know, like...
In this hypothetical scenario, I don't have a newborn,
you
right?
Two with your wives and girlfriends and babies, maybe let's just like... Let's ignore that sort of grim fact of like leaving a partner behind. Mm, it's just you've got 1 year. Yeah. What are you doing with it?
Okay, I like that.
Because I'm thinking Super Bowl. That's the obvious one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Super Bowl, Tour de France.
Yeah.
For me, my 1 year terminal illness bucket list, I think, would be like kind of a sporting tour of the globe.
Mm. I like it.
Tour de France, Volta a España, maybe Roubaix, maybe Paris-Roubaix. I'd love to go to Paris-Roubaix. I would try and do, like, I think I'd try and do like sporting things.
I like it.
And just go and see the sights of the world that I haven't been to.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Are there any sites in particular that you'd love to go and see?
That's a good question. I'd like to do a bit more Europe.
Yeah.
A bit more Europe, I think it'd be fun. There's some spots in Europe I'd like to go to. Egypt, Morocco, top of Africa, I think would be fun.
Hmm. Have you been to Egypt, Eric?
I have not. It has not come up yet.
A flight, something happened with flights, so we ended up spending 3 days in Cairo. Airline put us up in a fancy hotel and stuff. It was gorgeous. We got to see the pyramids. And
did you go to the Pizza Hut? The Pizza Hut where you can famously see the pyramids out of the window.
Oh, the Pizza Hut with the pyramids out the window. Is it a Pizza Hut or a KFC or is it both?
It might be both at this point.
Because there's a KFC that's got a rooftop terrace.
Ah.
That is genuinely... well done, Eric. That is 100% on my bucket list. Yeah. To go to the KFC in Cairo that overlooks the pyramids.
Overlooks the pyramids. That's great.
And hey, I can eat as much fucking chicken as I want.
That's true. Go to town.
Do you know what? Do you know what I would do?
Yeah.
I'd go the bucket. You know what I mean?
You know what, an entire bucket.
You know what American sitcoms?
Yeah.
You know, the classic thing was the fatty boom bar sitting on the bucket. Mm. And it made it seem like that was a thing. I don't know. Eric, you're the resident American.
Yeah.
I mean, not in the literal sense, obviously. You're a resident right American, now. But yeah. Popular culture, I feel, made it seem like it was a regular occurrence that people would literally, like, buy a bucket of chicken and just sit there eating the chicken. Like, Joey Tribbiani from Friends is a classic one.
Mm.
Like, is that the entire bucket. Is that a normal thing in America to actually get the bucket?
KFC did indeed sell in the bucket size that I feel like was a regular part of people's lives. They knew it. You'd bring it home for the family.
That makes more sense.
Like, quick shorthand signifier for, like, this guy's giving up. This guy's...
This guy's getting on the bucket.
This guy's depressed. And that's how you see it inserted into pop culture.
Yeah.
The soul guy with the bucket. But it is,
I would totally get the bucket. That's one of the things I would do. I'd do all that stupid shit, you know.
Kicking the bucket tour, and you just go around and have a KFC in different countries, but you always get the bucket.
just stacking empty buckets.
So and then you put the buckets on your head when you go to the sport.
So it's a sporting tour / KFC bucketless bucket tour. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, it's so good.
No, I would totally do it.
This is great.
Totally,
I loved it how this escalated from I've got a month before I have a newborn to Kieran's at the Eiffel Tower with five KFC
just
buckets on his
munching
head.
On some Le Hot and Spicy.
What?
L'Original Recipe. Is that Shay Eric? What the fuck is it? I didn't hear the German moment.
He's just doing a couple of doughies.
Man.
Hey, spawn, right? Tangentially.
Yeah.
Death row meal.
Oh,
you got a death row meal?
That is great.
I got a death row meal.
Do you?
I feel like it's one of those things you should know what your death row meal is going to be.
Mm.
And you'll appreciate this, Cal.
Yeah.
Eric, you'll pretend to appreciate it, but you won't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay. I think I've got an answer, and I think I've got a rationale here.
And this is...
I think this is going to surprise
you. This is the scenario where you can realistically get whatever you want. Because I think of the real death row meal, you'd be like, I want 12 turduckins and, you know, 12 bottles of Dom Perignon with a straw. And they're going to be like, it's kind of a chicken or fish equation here, champ. You robbed 12 banks and...
You killed all of the clerks.
Yeah. So it's
chicken. You get no.
It's chicken or fish,
you
mate.
You get no Dom.
In a brown sauce.
We might be able to score you a bottle of passion.
We got you some leftover meals from the Southwest flight that fucking landed 3 weeks ago. We're going to put it in the microwave, but it's a chicken or fish equation.
I really like how you stuck to Australia does not have the death penalty and American does. That was nice from you. The Southwest, good reference. Okay.
good airline.
Depending.
On your opinion. Eric?
Southwest? Yeah. I've flown Southwest once. It wasn't the best.
I've never flown it.
I did it once. It was domestic, so...
Yeah.
Yes, is it true that they don't assign you seats and it's just a mad rush to get your seat?
Wasn't for me.
Okay.
That's crazy.
I saw something on Twitter saying like, oh, I like that you can just, you turn up, you go in, you pick your seat, you sit with whoever you want. And that seems like the worst part of a flight.
I don't hate that.
Hmm.
But I'm also not bothered.
Anyway. I really enjoyed when I got to go to the grand final last year. I did really enjoy that, like, being in the MCC. Like,
it's sort of a
mad rush, but then also when you get in there, like, it's not, like...
Because it's assigned, right?
Heaps of seats.
Oh, it's not assigned.
No, it's not assigned. So you have the grand final...
But people, like, they've got their seat that they want, so they're like...
They've got their seats that they want, yeah. So we were... I was talking to the guy who I ended up sitting next to... There's a bloke from Maui whose name I've forgotten, but lovely, lovely guy.
Mo.
His name wasn't Mo.
No,
it was a very generic.
That guy would get lots of high fives.
He would get a lot of high fives.
Your name's Mo. And you live in Maui. Hey!
Yeah, exactly.
Up top. Down low.
He'd have a strong, meaty hand from all of the high five.
High 10! Wasn't synchronous. Anyway. Wasn't a good...
So the people want the payoff, the last meal. I've steered us wrong here.
It is choose your own seat, and then you sit in the seat until they give you the ticket that's assigned to that seat. Very interesting.
MCG.
It's a lot of fun. Anyway, sorry. Back to the death row meal.
Death row meal. Another scenario in which
we're dying. The obvious answer for me is
bacon.
No. is nachos. Because I love nachos. But I just had a little moment and I thought about it. It's probably aided by the fact that we've drunk quite a lot on this podcast already.
Yeah.
A moment of clarity.
Boozy doubleheader.
Woo! And I realized that actually, if I was going to my death,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't want to feel like bloated and awful.
Do you know? Really?
I don't think I would want... I don't know that I'd want to.
You don't want to leave a mess for them to clean up? I think that's part of it.
I thought about it and I thought, you know what I always love is Ethiopian food.
Okay.
I have an Ethiopian feast. That would be my...
Back to Africa?
Yeah. Yep. That would be my...
You have an Ethiopian feast.
Yeah. But it's all you can eat Ethiopian feast.
Right. So you would stuff yourself to excess.
I would stuff myself, but I would still feel light. You know,
would you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I feel like we should build to Kieran's answer. So
yeah,
because Kieran, I'm excited as to what Kieran's going to say.
But Eric, as an American, is the only one that could actually this happen to. In case Eric moves back to America and becomes an outright villain.
But couldn't we also get sentenced to death in America if we did premeditated murder?
I think we'd probably be deported. Wouldn't we?
Eric,
you're the legal expert on matters of American deportation.
I feel like diplomatically, Australia and New Zealand would not allow America to execute one of their citizens. They'd say, we don't do it here, you send them back and we'll deal with them the Australian way. But,
yeah, it's good solid kick in the codpiece.
We'll send them to Tasmania. And the Americans would be like, oh, great. Don't know what that means. sounds awful, though. Yeah. Meanwhile, Kieran's down there. Eating Bruny Island cheese and having a ripper.
Yeah, going to Dark Mofo. Yeah. I like the angle of the Ethiopian, because when I imagine, as an American, I've imagined myself in death row. And
15 cheeseburgers.
The White House special. But I'm thinking the Ethiopian, that's a reasonable thought, because when I picture myself on death row, it's always on some... in some prison in like rural Mississippi, and it's like, I want Ethiopian. And they've got to drive hours. We got to go to New York City where all this world cuisine, we can get that. Yeah, it's like, you sure you don't want grits or something?
No, I would love some. Now, this injera seems to be made from spelt flour.
Yeah.
I would like teff flour injera, please. Yeah.
I asked for champagne, and I'm pretty sure this didn't come from the Champagne region. So I get another couple of days here while you track that down.
Yeah, we didn't rob all the banks and shoot all the clerks with Kieran. Mm. We're just in here because we got busted for weed 5 times. You know, like, come on.
I feel like I'm going a different route, opposite to you.
Okay.
The stuff that I eat to excess, like I in my normal everyday life, I hold myself back from.
Because
I eat to excess. Yeah, the heaviest, like, stuffed crust... pepperoni, salt bombs, put some olives on there, and like a 6-pack of beer.
I mean, that also sounds awesome. Also sounds awesome.
But then I'm a chicken shit guy, and so I'd have no appetite on the eve of my execution. And I think in real life, that's why they stopped doing last meals in a lot of places in America, because people get to the eve of their death and they say, oh, well, I requested $500 worth of shit. You know, I'm not feeling so comfortable. I'm not going to eat any of this. And
is it actually, I mean, I know it's sort of one of them like party questions. Did prisoners on death row in America actually get to choose a last meal? And was there ever a time when they did actually get whatever they wanted? Or was it sort of like, yeah, you get a budget for this. You get a budget of X amount.
We've got...
and our chefs will, to the best of our ability...
$16.
Yeah, I mean, like $50 in America. Back in the days when they were sending people to death row, that probably would have got you a pretty decent feast.
That's a super good question. Yeah. Growing up in America, I always thought this was something that happen.
When you were committing all of your crimes.
Yeah. Right? Oh, exactly. That
was but not getting caught. Yeah.
Not getting caught.
That's the secret.
You've got
you got to get caught before you get the option of the death row meal.
Before you get the large pepperoni.
Well, and the first result here I see is a New York Times article saying, last meals on death row, a peculiarly American fascination. And I'm just going to give this a scan.
Incorrect. We're very fascinated by it right
fascinated
now
by
here
it.
In Australia.
In 2011, Texas abandoned the bespoke last meal for death row inmates after the killer, Lawrence Russell Brewer, placed a vast order, 2 chicken fried steaks, a pound of barbecue, and so on, but ate none of it.
I mean, that doesn't sound like the biggest food waste issue. 2 chicken fried steaks and some barbecue.
What's a chicken fried steak?
Ah, Callum, you'll love this.
I don't think I will.
So it's, you know, fried chicken?
Yeah.
It's like steak, but it's fried like fried chicken.
Right. That seems ridiculous.
You might describe the steak as chicken fried.
Right. Okay.
But
it's like battered and sort of...
It's in but here's the thing.
Here's the really stupid thing.
Yeah. They also do, and Eric, you'll agree with this as a red-blooded American, they also do... chicken fried chicken. Because the chicken fried steak is like a flat piece of steak, whereas the fried chicken is like the whole, basically, you know, a whole chicken, bones and all, cut into 8. So fried chicken is on the bone. You know, it's a whole chicken that's been basically quartered and then cut into 8, brined, battered and fried.
Right.
And then chicken fried steak is a piece of steak, so it's flat. So then when they started doing like chicken breasts or chicken thighs and doing them with the same coating, instead of just calling them like fried chicken, but it's a flat breast, they're like, no, this is chicken fried chicken. And everyone in America just went, yes, of course it is. How dare you question our system?
Oh my God. That's magnificent. That makes me go.
Chicken
happy.
Fried chicken. Yeah, Eric, it's a real thing.
It is. It certainly is.
I didn't encounter it in my travels in North America.
Oh, we should have given you the list. We should have told you, hey, make sure you go down and seek out some chicken fried chicken.
Oh, it's so good.
That is the dumbest thing
I've ever heard in a while.
God, I love that country.
cheers to America and the many silly things.
All its nonsense and its glory.
So after Kieran, after you tell us about your final meal, I've got a bone.
Okay. About America?
It is a bone about America.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's
controversial.
It's going to be controversial.
Okay. There is very little to dislike about that country.
We'll just let it. That's why Eric moved 6,000-7,000 kilometers away from it
because it was just too awesome to handle all the time.
I've forgotten what I was going to say. No, I'll just let that simmer.
Okay,
just like the jus that you're probably going to have on one of the parts of your last meal.
Incorrect.
Okay,
in New Zealand, in the south of Canterbury, my home province, 2 hours south of Christchurch, my hometown.
Wait.
There is a bakery.
Oh. Oh.
The town.
Oh, yeah.
The town of my father's birth, Timaru. The bakery is called May's. It was presumably named after someone called May. And they said, well, we name a bakery. And Mrs. May said to Mr. May, what if we called it May's Bakery? And they created all the baked goods, the bread, the cakes, but they also created the pie. What I consider, I, Kieran Bullock, speaking in this ridiculous accent, what I consider to be the finest specimen of pie the world has ever seen. And what did they call this pie, Eric? They called it May's Pie. And if I was on death row, I would request 10 maize pies.
Oh my God.
And I would wash that down with a 4-pack of the finest elixir known to humanity. 4 bottles of the finest drink ever created. Lift, class.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
it is my. It is my dream meal. I would be bloated to excess, and it would just be,
you would be so wired as well. Thing. Like four cans of Live Plus, you'd be so wired.
Bottles. That's even more. Oh, 355 mil. It's the, it tastes better out of a glass.
That's fair. Mm. That's fair. I can back that up. Yeah,
so that would be my death row meal. Yeah, 10 maize pies.
10 maize pies.
The famous pies that, yeah, of course, my sister Juliet Bullock ate on the first morning of her diet.
Two pie Juliet.
Two pies for breakfast.
Two pies
because
for breakfast.
They are, Eric. They're small pies.
Small pies.
Yeah. They're, so they're probably equal to like, they're probably equal to one pie for each two pies, right? So it's sort of,
I think
maybe
it's,
one and a half pies.
I think, I think it's one and a half normal
so
pies.
So you're sort of eating,
it's a three quarter pie.
Seven and a half normal size pies.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pies.
Mm. Hey. It's my last meal. It's got to last me for the rest
of
eternity.
What sort of sauce would you have with the maize pies?
You do not have a sauce with a maize pie. That is the difference between a New Zealand pie and an Australian pie. A New Zealand pie does not need sauce. It has all the flavour inherent in the pastry, in the gravy, in the meat. You do not put sauce on a pie in the country of New Zealand.
That was glorious. That was glorious.
Yeah.
Well, Kieran, I'm going to take you across the ocean again.
It's a place I love to go.
We'll talk about hospitality in another country.
Okay.
Already been to. I do have a bone. I've come back from North America with a bone to pick.
Hey, look, we've all been to North America.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Let's be honest. There's some stuff that's not perfect.
Yeah.
About that part of the world.
Well, so I've got two bones. One's a little chicken bone.
Bone where they're joined. Bone. Or
yeah. Okay. No, this sort of yeah. So the first bone that I have to pick with North America in general.
Wow, the whole continent.
The whole fucking continent is fucking bread. What the actual fuck, North America? What have you done to bread?
Sugar, man.
It is the worst. Everywhere it is the worst. You buy it like
is. American bread is horrific.
It's garbage. It's all garbage. We had one sort of vaguely palatable loaf of like $9. It was okay.
Nine American dollars. That's like, you know, 27 Australian dollars.
I know.
Yeah.
Or
5 euros.
So that's my little chicken bone. Real bone, and that's okay. Like, you know, you like different stuff.
I didn't expect that to be a bone, but I do agree with you. American bread is foul.
It's awful. Wow. It's all terrible.
Eric looks shocked beyond anything that we've ever said to him. We've destroyed Eric's life.
I was all ramped up to defend my home and native country, and I of all the things from my ship from America to Australia, things do taste different. Some things taste better, some things taste worse, and it never went through my head like, oh, bread tastes different. So yeah, maybe I'm just buying.
Have you had delicious Australian sourdough? Like, have you been down to just a bakery and just had some sourdough bread? Like, you cannot get that in anywhere in North America.
American bread is
unless you have a friend who is
processed
like,
to the nth degree.
I only buy Cole's white sandwich bread.
Oh, no wonder.
A literal
tastes exactly like America. Yeah.
Sprinkle a little sugar on it before you put it in the toaster.
Oh, yeah.
Basically eating fairy bread the entire time.
So my genuine bone though, I mean that's a little bit farcical. It's okay.
No, I agree with you. It's shit bread.
But real bone, and this is maybe a little bit more somber. It's,
oh no,
it's not. Yeah. It's not. It's not. I don't think it's political, but it's sort of verging on. I have a bone to pick with tipping culture.
Oh, yep, I'm with you there too.
Tipping culture in North America is disgusting. I've thought about it a little bit, and the idea that somebody can work and earn no money because they're not in a good mood, or they've had a bad day, or they just happen to get a succession of customers that are having a bad day, or they happen to get a succession of customers that are just assholes.
Yep.
That's an appalling way to treat people. So yes. I really thought about it a lot, and it also creates this awkwardness where you have a lot of businesses will actually pay their staff some sort of living wage, right? Mm.
Yeah.
And there'll still be an expectation that you tip 18% or whatever it is. There's this awkwardness of how much you have to tip, and you feel like a
do you feel like a jerk every time? I genuinely, there were very few times where I didn't feel like I was getting it wrong going out eating food. And I feel like the only person who's making money out of that is the person who owns the business. And that's terrible. Everybody loses out of that except the person who owns the business.
It does seem like an imperfect system.
Yeah.
Especially from a taxation perspective, is that, yeah, the money, that's money that should be going in, you know, registered, it should be, you know, taxes are paid. And then it does seem this weird thing for a country whose tax system, Eric, as you've told me about, is notoriously complex and fickle and difficult to navigate, that there is this just absolute free-for-all cash culture where people will just live off cash and it never goes through any sort of formal channels. I agree with you. Not to lower the tone too much, but if I'm correct, I think tipping has its origins in slavery. When all the slaves were released and were trying to find employment, that not paying them a wage and having them be tipped instead was some sort of workaround.
Really?
Not sure of the details. But you are right to instinctively be against tipping when you consider where it comes from. And I have to say, I'm going to latch on here a little bit. I'm going to tag onto your bow. I'm going to jump on it, if you'll excuse the expression, and say that I am, and I say this as someone in hospitality who has been tipped, who will be tipped in the future. I have received money from tips for services that I have provided in a hospitality context. It's creeping into Australian culture, and you got to stop it. Yeah. You got to stop it.
Yeah.
No, I know that maybe sounds hypocritical, but I don't tip. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Because once it pervades the culture, it seeps in. You know, Uber drivers want a tip now. Delivery people want a tip now. You're going to get to the point with the square POS systems where they flip it around and it says tip.
Oh, yeah.
I went out to a restaurant the other day. They flipped it around. I just hit no tip. Not an asshole, but this is the way it goes. People in this country get paid good money.
As
I know that is someone.
Should. As they should. People should get system, paid for doing a job.
And yeah, is, tipping is, yeah, I'm with you. It's a big no. And I think the tide is slowly turning in America. But as you know, big country, a lot of people, a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions. It's going to take a long time, generations possibly, before they weed that out. Plus, you know, as you say now, with the advent of square POSs and it's all online now, you know, I think in America they're actually adding more things. You know, you tip your hairdresser now. We got a Lonely Planet guide from when my family went to the US in 2000. Mum bought a Lonely Planet guide, and I remember reading it, and it said, like, you tip your waiters, you tip your bartenders, and you tip bag boys when you're at a hotel, and they give it. That was it.
Yeah,
I think the list of people that you would tip now in America would be astronomical.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there's taxi drivers, Uber drivers, delivery people, barbers, subway. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
I literally got asked for a tip from a person who, like, we bought a donut in a shop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insanity.
That's crazy.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
Is it a good donut? Where is the logic there? It's not
the logic is they can ask for it and people will give it. And there is a social contract that America has created of, like, if you ask for a tip, you kind of have to do it. Yeah. And I think that is being preyed upon by services that would not traditionally be tipped, such as bakery owners and donut store people.
And the other thing that I heard while I was in America, and I haven't really done any research on this, is that there are lots of businesses where...
Spoken like a true Barry Bullock hour segment.
Yeah. where... Not a doctor, but...
I'm not an expert on tipping culture, but...
Was that there are lots of businesses that will actually keep the tips and give their staff a small portion of the tips.
Especially now that they're going through
the POS
systems. Yeah. When it was just cash, it was cash in hand. But yeah.
Yeah.
I read an article very recently, which I may send to you two privately, about the state of American tipping culture. It may have even been the New York Times. I can't remember. But yes, it's very interesting. The tide is slowly shifting, but big country, big ship to turn around.
Should we let Eric have a right of reply on this? Because he's been very patient and very politely biting his tongue. I'm sure he's got a lot of vitriol to unleash.
Tipping culture. Eric, yours please.
Yeah, well, of course, it's the most reasonable way to do things. I like to go into Outback Steakhouse and I order my Bloomin' Onion.
Bloomin' Onion.
And as a big shot, I feel so good saying... "Here, you lowly worm serving me. Here's a dollar. Keep take this back to whatever hovel you live in." Yeah. No, it makes me feel like a big shot. Like, oh, I'm just throwing out bucks to these little worms that are below me. No, I hate tipping culture, and it's only gotten more complex and bigger, and there are places that are doing it right, that pay a living wage, and then, well, you still have the option to tip, because some people want to tip, but...
Have you noticed? Not I have sometimes, bad, yeah. Like in Australia, I have sometimes felt like someone has gone crazy out of their way to help me.
In a nice restaurant.
In a nice restaurant, like, and I have quite happily and joyfully given them a tip. Because they have really gone out of their way. And I feel like that's what a real tip is. That's like, you've actually stopped. You've taken a moment out of your job.
You've done more than the job description that you get paid for,
and
therefore you should get a little extra.
Yeah,
a little cherry on top.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting angle, and we're looking into wedding venues in the U.S. at the moment, and so wrap your heads around this one.
Oh boy,
you pay for.
Are you going to give us more notice as to when your U.S. wedding is, so that we can?
Yeah. Once we pin it down, I'll put it out there.
Oh, you want to go to America for Christmas with your 4-month-old?
The plan Good luck. Is roughly Christmas.
Put that time. On your bucket list, pal.
So I read this not 2 days ago. You pay for the space hire.
Yep.
That includes...
Venue hire?
They say, yeah, the venue hire. Yep. You get the space and you get some staff to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, it says, does not include a 20% service fee.
Right.
And I thought, okay, like space hire, service fee, that makes sense.
Right.
And then on top of that, in italics, it said gratuities not included. So I'm paying for the space, I'm paying a service fee, and on top of that,
tip the staff.
I got to tip them. Like,
and then on
group
top of
that together,
you also got to do the crazy exchange rate that we have at the moment as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sales tax, possibly.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So that's the big problem. It's always, you see so many places say, oh, here's your price, here's a service tax. The service fee, and here's the task, and it's like, that doesn't include gratuity. And it's like, if I'm paying extra on top of the price for my item for service, who am I paying that service money to if not the person providing the service?
It feels similar to why Airbnb is slowly going out of vogue, because people are getting sick of clicking on a property that says it's X amount of dollars per night. And then when they go to book it, there's like 4 different types of charges that doubles the price.
Is Airbnb going out of vogue?
People are rebelling against Airbnb. They, you know, you pay a cleaning fee, but you have to clean it. Remember Great Ocean Road? It was the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's that sort of thing. People are rebelling against all these added taxes and added fees. And in America, it's horrific because it's like, oh, it's a $10 burger. And, you know, fucking Captain America goes, but is it though? Have you calculated the service tax? No, service tax in this country, in this state, is 8.3%. So that's an extra 83 cents. You're like, okay, so it's $10.83. Just pay the fucking price for the thing that it is.
Like, the bar is like the cleanest setting for tipping. I'm paying for my drink. And at least when I left the U.S. 7-8 years ago, every drink was like $1.
Dollar.
So you buy your drink. You made me a nice gin and tonic. It was easy, but it was your effort. Here's $1 for your effort. Mm. And that guy might make $200 just in tips. Yeah. So it's like, it works out.
Proponents of tipping culture are the people that make good money out of it and probably make more money than they would if it was a decent wage. But $30 an hour, you do a 7-hour shift. Like,
if I go to Starbucks, some good money here. If I go to Starbucks and get 2 coffees and like a pre-made croissant, you just kind of picked it out, took it out of the machine, took the thing out of the case, gave it to me. Do I need to give you a $3 or $4 tip on that? Nah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
Just pay that person right, bake it all into the price, and I'd rather do
it's
that.
Only a billion-dollar corporation.
Yeah.
So this has been Barry Bullock Hour 65, part 2 of a boozy double header. We've enjoyed some mulled beer, we've enjoyed a little bit of Chez Eric, which I still think is his restaurant. He is Chef Eric. We've actually enjoyed, we didn't even really mention this, but we've been enjoying the Stomping Ground Mabu Mabu Black Heart Sparrows Macadamia Brown Ale, which we haven't talked about, but has been very tasty. A lovely collaboration by Black Heart and Sparrows, Mabu Mabu and Stomping Ground. A brown ale brewed with some indigenous ingredients, native macadamia. And I've really been enjoying it whilst we were talking. Absolute bullshit. But that is it. That is episode 65. We will see you next time for episode 66 and maybe 67 if we continue to do boozy double headers.
I like the boozy double headed.
66, you might be a dad, you might not quite yet be a dad.
I might be on the cast. We might be in the delivery room.
66 delivery room episode. Get it down, yeah. But we will see you in the future for the next episode of the Craft Beer Comedy Podcast, Barry Bullock Hour. Good day to you all.